Among the least prominent players Coach Mata has mentored is Mark Titus, a walk-on who spent 4 years on the Buckeye bench. He rarely played, but before he graduated in 2010, Titus had developed a popular blog about his experiences, and now he's got a book about things like what it meant to him to watch from a great seat as his teammates played in the NCAA tournament, among other things. He joins me from WCBE in Columbus, Ohio. Mark, welcome to Only a Game.
Hey, good to be here. Thanks for having me.
You played, albeit not very much, for Thad Mata, who's still the head coach at Ohio State. Without the four-letter words, tell us about what you considered Mr. Mata's, quote, finest moment in coaching.
My favorite moment, yeah, was when we were playing my freshman year at North Carolina, and we were ranked number one in the country, and we had a lot of freshmen on our team, a lot of guys that, like, they had probably played, what, like 5 or 6 games in their college careers. We were playing at North Carolina, which is, like, historically one of the best programs in the country, you know. And before the game, we had a big film session. And as we walked into the room, Coach Mata had a real serious look on his face. And we could tell that, you know, he wanted to, like, break down some film and because this was a huge game. But instead, he played a clip from Wedding Crashers. And then the next day, 10 minutes before tip-off, typically Coach Mata comes in and gives, like, his big pep talk and gets us all jacked up and ready to play. And 10 minutes before, though, we had no idea where he was. He wasn't in the locker room. All the players are kind of looking around like, where's Coach Mata? And he walks in the locker room real slow and just reenacts the scene from Wedding Crashers at Will Ferrell. He plays a Will Ferrell role and says the line, yeah, well, I won't use the four-letter words, but what do you want? Just looks at us. We ended up playing really well that game. We lost in the end, so maybe it wasn't as great, but I think our team played better when we were loose and having fun, and that's kind of what my whole book is about, is that, like, the dynamic of our team is just a loose, fun atmosphere.
In your first year with the team, you had the opportunity to witness the NCAA tournament and, in fact, to advance to the finals of same. Mm-hmm. You write that even for experienced college players, the tournament is, quote, a completely different beast. How so?
It's just the media attention, and especially as you progress in the tournament. Like, this week, the players are – there's more – attention on them. Like, every move they make is magnified, even versus last week in the tournament. And then the next week in the Final Four, it's going to be even worse. And you show up to the site a few days early, which is different. You know, when you play on the road and in the regular season, you just go the night before and then wake up the next day and play the game. But the NCAA tournament, you get there like 3 or 4 days early. You have, like, all these meetings. You have media sessions. You have open practices. You have just a lot of things you have to do, and it's kind of, I mean, it's fun because it mixes it up a little bit, but if I was actually playing in the games, it would have been a huge distraction for me, I think. It's great looking back on it. Like, my favorite memories are from the Final Four. Like, we were there for a week probably before we even played a game, and just all the stuff we did and how, like, the fans, we got to interact with fans and that sort of thing was a lot of fun. But yeah, there's a lot of stuff like that that goes on behind the scenes that most people probably don't think about.
On the first few occasions when you actually got into games, you tried to take advantage of those opportunities by scoring or rebounding or playing good defense, something useful in basketball terms. But tell us about how and when you decided to abandon that plan and go for what you began to call the trillion.
Yeah, the trillion. Well, after my sophomore season, we had played in the NIT. We won the NIT, which is the tournament that no one cares about. It's going on right now. No one even really realizes it because the NCAA tournament is the important one. So we played in the NIT. Our team wasn't very good. I was doing really well in practice all that year, but I still wasn't getting any playing time. And so after that year, I figured if I can't play on a bad team when I'm doing well, then I'm never going to play. I decided, though, to just stick with it and have some fun with it. So I started a website where I wrote about how I don't ever play. Originally, it was supposed to be me making fun of myself before other people could make fun of me. But as I wrote my stories about getting disrespected as a walk-on and not being able to do some of the stuff that the other guys get to do, people, like, really liked it. And I built an audience because people could identify with my stories. The Trillion concept, by the way, the Club Trillion was the name of the blog. And the Trillion was I would play for 1 minute and not do anything when I was on the court. So my box score would say 1 minute played followed by 12 zeros, and we called that the Trillion. And I made fun of it originally, like, it was embarrassing that I only played 1 minute, but then people, like, loved it and thought it was so funny and all that sort of thing. And I kind of had to switch because I had a game, the first game my junior season, after I'd been writing about the Trillion and all that kind of thing, We played at home in Ohio, at Ohio State, and I got a rebound and ruined my trillion because I didn't have 12 zeros anymore. I had a one in there, and the student section at Ohio State actually started booing me. So, yeah, that's kind of what I had to flip my attitude, and we started having fun with it there.
Was Coach Mata aware of your ongoing pursuit of the perfect trillion?
I think he was a little bit, but he always had the attitude of like what he doesn't know can't hurt him. So he tried to like stay away from like all of that as much as he could. But yeah, there were times where he put me in. I think the most I ever played was 5 minutes, and that made it really hard to not do anything. So I had to do stuff there. But there were, I don't know. I think he knew, but he wasn't completely sure like why I didn't care about shooting and why I didn't. I mean, it's not like I purposely ran away from the ball or something, you know. But I wouldn't shoot. I didn't really care to do much when I was out there, and I think he kind of maybe knew that a little bit.
Sometimes you purposely ran away from the ball.
Maybe once or twice.
Right, on the back of the book, one particular blurb says, "Of all the players I've coached in my career, Mark Titus is one of them," and that allegedly comes from Coach Thad Mata. I don't know. Did it really?
It really did. He's the kind of coach that like likes to give people titles. So like he really starts his sentences with that. If you ask him about any player that played for him, he'd say like, yeah, of all the players I coached, he was the best shooter, or he was the most athletic, or something. So that's like pretty much what he would say about me. He would say of all the players I coached, and then like think about it for a second and be like, well, he was one of them. So.
Mark Titus, late the occupant of the last seat on the Ohio State basketball team's bench, is the author of Don't Put Me In, Coach, My Incredible NCAA Journey from the End of the Bench to the End of the Bench. The book was published by Doubleday, and the author joined me from WCBE in Columbus, Ohio. Mark, thank you very much for speaking with me.
Yeah, thanks for having me.